Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk podcast. This podcast is part of our metals and mining sector CEO interview series, where our mission is to help investors and listeners understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. I'm Dave Jackson. The world's most iconic precious metal has soared back into prominence in recent months, surpassing the $2,400 Canadian mark in mid-May. Yes, indeed, gold is back. Green River Gold Corp was founded in the summer of 2017 by a group of investors who had experience in placer mining in the Cariboo Mining District of British Columbia through a private corporation. The company's executive team saw near-term cash flow potential in the placer mining industry and also recognized the great potential for hard rock gold discoveries based on the rich mining history of the Cariboo District. The Cariboo was the site of the original Cariboo Gold Rush starting around 1860. Since then, historic gold production has been approximately 3.8 million ounces, 2 million from placer production, and about 1.8 million from lode deposits. Starting in 2017, with the assistance of locally based geological consultants and miners with many decades of combined experience, the company set out to find both placer and mineral properties with good potential. The company trades on the CSE under the symbol CCR. Today, we're glad to be joined by Perry Little, CCR's president and CEO. Perry has extensive experience with junior resource company financing and with the public markets in general. His experience has been gained over the course of a 28-year career in the investment industry. During his career, Perry has held a variety of positions with large Canadian investment firms. He retired from his position as senior investment advisor with Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management in 2016 after 14 years with the company. Prior to his involvement in the investment industry, Perry spent 9 years in the field of public accounting, acquiring significant experience and education in the areas of accounting, taxation, and auditing. Thank you very much for joining us today, Perry.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Great to have you here. Well, Perry, to start off with, can you update our investor audience and your CCR shareholders on any new company developments, especially in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic?
I sure can. We've been continuing to make progress on both the placer and the hard rock gold aspects of our business. Despite COVID-19, it's had a fairly limited impact on us. We have been quite active lately acquiring placer mining properties, some with permits already in place, to expand the inventory of rental claims that we have available to gold miners that are looking for claims. We also have been talking to gold miners about renting those claims, and we're confident that we will succeed in renting out some of our permitted claims for this season. In addition, we've been busy raising money through a non-brokered private placement to explore our Fontaine property. That property is 8,200 hectares of mineral claims that are contiguous with Osisko's Cariboo project. It's funny, we forget about this. People are so interested in hearing about this crazy, innovative placer idea that we've got. It's not really crazy, but it's different. And people are so interested in hearing about that we often downplay the potential of our mineral property. We negotiated the deal to acquire those claims with very fortuitous timing. We negotiated the deal in March of 2019. And closed the deal in August of 2019. That just happened to be exactly 1 month before Osisko shone a spotlight on the region by buying Barkerville Gold Mines for well over $300 million. Since then, our neighbor on the other side, Ominika Mining, has announced a large drill program as well. So the area is definitely heating up. Our timing really couldn't have been better. Gold has also gone up from 1750 Canadian to 2400 Canadian since we negotiated the deal just over a year ago. And if you look up the old Barkerville Gold Mines or Osisko's Cariboo project, you'll see the millions of ounces that they've proven up on that property over the years. And we are right next to it. So we think we got a heck of a deal on that. that property. We also stake that with the help of veteran miners and geologists who've been up in that area for a long, long time. So we're pretty confident with what we picked up there. As far as COVID-19 directly and its impact on the business, we have been fortunate. It hasn't really had any direct negative impact on us. Mining and the support services to mining are essential industries in BC, so we've not had to shut down at all. If anything, we're seeing a bit of a mini boom in the placer mining industry. People displaced from their employment are looking for an alternate income source. And with gold at 2,400 Canadian and cheap oil, the economics for placer mining are the best in decades, perhaps the best ever. We even locally, it's interesting. There are a lot of, you know, weekend warriors, guys that have day jobs in the mills or whatever in town, and they come out on the weekend and they have claims and they do some small hand mining, maybe a little bit of mechanical mining even. And what we're seeing is a lot of those guys have lost their jobs. A lot of those people have lost their jobs, and what used to be a hobby might be their full-time employment for the summer. So it's definitely heating up out there. There's a bit of a parallel, by the way, with the 1930s in terms of the job losses and in terms of the ratio between the high gold price and the low oil price. That is the perfect scenario for placer mining. And there was a boom in placer mining. The second gold rush, if you will, in the Cariboo was in the 1930s. At one point, the federal government set up a grubstake program, and they actually paid young men to go out to a six-week training program on prospecting and mining, and then they gave them a whopping sum of, I think it was $8.50 each, and sent them off into the bush to try to find gold. It's interesting that we were that involved in placer mining in the 30s, but it was a boom up then. So we've got an interesting perspective on the whole area up there. Our office space in Quesnel doubles as a retail store that caters to the placer miners in the area. We opened the store thinking it would cover our office rent and a bit of overhead, give us a presence in town, and give us an opportunity to get to know the local miners, because relationships matter, and those relationships are very important when you're looking to acquire or rent or sell mining claims. That store really does give us a finger on the pulse of the placer mining business. That pulse is racing. The store is much busier than we expected, and it's going to be a very busy year for mining. So COVID-19, hate to say it, but it may actually be a net positive for placer miners. Go ahead, Dave. You're going to say something?
No, not at all. Please go. Keep going. It's been an absolutely fascinating history lesson.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, I kind of digress sometimes here. Sorry about that. I think maybe I should tell them a little bit about the history of the company, mm-hmm. if I could.
Yeah, please go ahead.
When I retired as a stockbroker in 2016, we gathered some capital through a private company from friends, family, and associates, and we tried our hand at placer mining and found out it's a lot tougher than it looks on TV. Mm-hmm. I actually spent the summer of 2017 living in a trailer 3 kilometers from our mine site, and I was on the site every day learning the business from the ground up. I was somewhat shocked at the obvious lack of capital behind most of the operations, because we got to see a bunch of the other guys' operations as well, and also the lack of services for the miners. So we saw an opportunity, so we decided to provide some of those services. So our private company ended up, as well as mining, ended up renting a shop and started manufacturing trommels and wash plants, which all the miners need, and we build them right there in Quesnel, right where all the Cariboo gold miners are, so they can sort of special order stuff if they want. It's worked out quite well. And that's in the private company. But at the same time that I was living in the trailer, believe it or not, from a trailer in the bush in Quesnel with no cell phone service, I was reorganizing a public company. So I'd had this idea with the public company, a public company that would focus on placer mining as well as hard rock mining. It had been in the back of my head for the last few years that I was a broker. I saw an opportunity to provide much-needed capital to the placer miners, but I couldn't quite come up with a format that would be both safe and profitable. We finally started figuring it out as we went along, but just to continue on with the history, in May of 17, we took the reins of a publicly listed mining company that was slowly dwindling, and we recapitalized it, renamed it, and repurposed it. By doing it that way, we did get the benefit of the accumulated tax losses and CEE pools, which were in the neighborhood of $1.3 million. So we'll be able to make quite a bit of money before we're paying taxes. At that point, once we had the company restructured and renamed, we began to look for suitable properties. That's not really true, because our private company had been looking for suitable properties for about 2 years at that point. But we continued the process of looking for suitable property. And we were very selective. And we finally made our first big acquisition at Fontaine in March of 2019. Since then, we've continued to add to our inventory of placer mining claims.
Well, Perry, in recent news, the company announced that it had purchased the placer rights to about 136 hectares along the Willow River, approximately 12 kilometers from the historical mining town of Wells, BC. Can you walk us through the transaction, and what does this mean for the company moving forward?
Well, it's one of several acquisitions we've made of placer properties in the last little while, but this particular one we're excited about. There's a number of reasons, really. We know the property very well. We knew the previous operator, and we do believe it's got a lot of potential. It's already permitted for a small operation, and that could be expanded without too much difficulty. We bought some equipment that was already on site, so a potential renter for that property already has a trommel and a storage container on site. Really, just has to come in with a small excavator and a pump, and if you're ready to go, it's about as much of a turnkey operation as you can get. About 75% of the area is mineable ground, so that's about 100 hectares. There are a lot of historical reports on mining in the area dating back to the late 1800s, which indicate great potential. We purchased the claims by issuing shares and warrants with a deemed value of $19,800, and there is the potential there for many years of mining, so I think we got a really good bargain on that. It's in a wide valley that is mostly flat, and much of it's been recently logged, so we don't even have to get a license to cut down any trees to get started. As a matter of fact, the first time I drove out there, it felt like I was driving through a Christmas tree farm, because they replanted one area and they were just about the perfect size for Christmas trees. It was hilarious. But the access is really good to this property too. It's only about 4.5 kilometers off the Barkerville Highway, and it's actually close to the town of Wells too, so you don't feel quite so much like you're out in the bush.
Right.
It's comfortable.
Well, Perry, in a recent Stockhouse article, we talked about the company's unique placer mining business model. Can you explain it a little bit more in detail than I did?
Yeah, this one always sort of throws people for a loop, but I think even after I tell them about it the second time, they're still trying to get their head around it. It's a variation on a royalty model, I guess. If you look at the great success that companies like Silver Wheaton, or Wheaton Precious Metals now, or Franco-Nevada, or Osisko, for that matter, have had with a royalty model, I thought we could do that on a smaller scale somehow with placer operations. The problem is that placer operations, individually, they tend to be very small, and they haven't fit well into public companies in the past, and that's because what you're doing is you're screening and washing gravel and catching the gold, typically in a sluice box. So you have a lot of loose gold floating around, and it has a tendency to disappear. So doing a royalty model where if we said we were going to get 20% of the gold that comes out of this loose box, I wouldn't believe in that. I would never invest in that. I know what's happened. I've watched people basically take advantage of their own family members out there. It's brutal. Gold does weird things to people. So we had to come up with a different way to do it. So what I did is I looked at other ways of generating revenue from placer mining, with less risk and more predictability, and came up with the idea of being a landlord to other miners. We'd acquire claims, permit them, put up the reclamation bond, and then charge a cash rent based on expected gold recoveries. Now, people say, how do you know what you're going to expect for gold recoveries? Well, you know, that's something we'll have to sit down with each prospective renter and hammer out a deal for the rent. That's no different than any other landlord-tenant situation, you know, and I'm sure we'll be able to come to a rent that works if they really want to get out there and mine. And the rents aren't extravagant. Typically, what we do is we take 10% of what they expect to bring in over the year. If they produce more than that, it goes to them. If they produce less than that, unfortunately, they probably overpaid in rent. But you'll only know once you've got out there and mined. So it allows a lot of miners to get out there and set up with less upfront costs. They don't have to buy a claim and put up the bonding because they're already going to be looking at finding a wash plant, you know, rolling equipment. You add all those things together, it gets expensive. Well, it's working. We got a lot of people interested. Here's the part I love, though. The benefit to Green River is not only the rental income. A season of mining on a 20-hectare claim, you know, that's a pretty large claim, and that's typical. But a season of mining on a 20-hectare claim will only use up a small portion of the mineable ground. But the work done on the property will prove whether it's economic at today's gold price. If it is, we've greatly enhanced the value of our claim and perhaps the surrounding claims as well. If it isn't, we'll have a pretty good idea what's there and at what gold price it would be economic. Because the gold's not going to go anywhere. And if I'm right and the gold price keeps going up, if it's not economic at 2,400, it might be at 3,000. So, you know, we'll still be owing the claim, even if it doesn't come out too good. So it's really not that different a business model than what junior explorers do with Hard Rock. When you think about it, when with Hard Rock exploration, junior companies spend large sums of money exploring and drilling in the hope that they'll increase the value of the property over time so that it can be sold or joint ventured with a larger company. Our placer business model is not really that different. It is also about increasing the value of our claims through exploration. But in this, the exploration is paid for by someone else. They take the risk and they pay us rent for the opportunity. We've got a pretty good format here.
No, it's an amazing business model. Now, Perry, getting back to yourself for just a moment, what's been your primary role with the company since you started? And what's your vision moving forward?
My primary role has been just about everything. I wear many hats and have right from the start. Investor relations, chief fundraiser, manager, coordinating with lawyers and auditors, coming up with ideas, a big part of it, refining them, executing them, working with the real experts on acquisitions. About the only things I don't do are we make the ultimate decisions on acquisitions, but we funnel them down and we have those really vetted by a team of people who really know that stuff. I'm learning more about geology and placer mining as I go along, but we've got people who have forgotten more than I'm ever going to know probably. So those are the people we rely on to do the dirty work and find us good locations. The other thing I don't do is anything to do with anything mechanical. They saw me in the summer of 17 on the mine site, and then they saw me around the shop in the private company. And I haven't been permanently banned from either place, but it's close. I've always said if you give me a wrench and a screwdriver, I could probably destroy Western civilization faster than ISIS could ever hope to. So I stay away from anything that's mechanical. I do everything else. As far as a vision for the company, it's basically to continue to execute our plan and expand the number of placer claims that we own and enhance the value of those claims through exploration, much of it paid for by other miners. We'd also like to expand further south in BC where there's a longer mining season. Mm-hmm. So we are looking for claims down there as well. And we would plan. We are planning to explore our mineral property, which we have high hopes for. Our long-term strategy is to increase the value of both our mineral claims and our placer claims through exploration. We'd like to have enough cash flow coming in from the placer business ultimately to allow us to fund the hard rock exploration program without having to issue shares on a continual basis, which is sort of the plague of the industry, that dilution, that endless dilution.
Well, finally, Perry, can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock and why it's a good value buy right now?
I think it's an excellent buy. We've got a little over 28 million shares outstanding, 32 million fully diluted. And at 6 cents per share, where we're trading right now, we have a market capitalization of about $1.7 million. We have about $350,000 of retail inventory and large mining equipment, which we intend to sell, although we could choose to keep the mining equipment and rent it out, depending on what kind of deals we can get on it. We have 82 square kilometers of highly prospective mineral claims that are contiguous with Osisko's Cariboo project. We have over 20 square kilometers of placer mining claims, with some of them permitted and ready to mine. We have over $1.5 million worth of tax losses and Canadian exploration expenses that could be used to offset future income. And on top of that, we've got a presence in Quesnel through our office and store, only 60 kilometers from our placer mining claims, from all of our mining claims. All of our people are local to the area, so we're very much entrenched in there. We are affiliated with a private company that has a shop and storage yard in Quesnel, which gives us a place to stage operations from. So in my mind, we should be trading higher than six, given the assets that we already hold, plus the infrastructure in place and what I think is a unique business model at this point. I expect to see our price rise as we continue to execute on that model.
Well, great stuff, Perry. Be well, stay safe, and apparently stay off the backhoes and excavators.
I will do that. They don't let me anywhere close.
We have indeed been speaking with Perry Little. He is the president and CEO of Green River Gold. I'd like to once again thank Perry for joining us and sharing his helpful and insightful information about CCR with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. And don't forget, all of our podcasts are also available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Metals and Mining Sector Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Dealroom on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.